Hey everyone, I'm David. I'm with
Yusuf.
And welcome to episode 2 of the New Wave Podcast. Huge thanks to Avastar AI for sponsoring today's episode. So today we're going to be talking about generative AI and its role in content production, from TV shows, movies, YouTube videos, TikTok videos, and even music.
Yeah, we've been looking at how generative AI has been implemented into content creation, you know, whether it be through like TV shows, movies, you know, YouTubers using it to create content, and even TikTokers using it to create content, whether it be the actual TikToks or like slideshows. And we found it really interesting. So today we're going to dive into how Gen AI is just being implemented into all these different types of content creation.
Definitely. So for our first story, I want to focus on recently invested by Amazon company Fable. So Fable has this new product called Showrunner. It essentially generates AI-generated animated shows. So they recently just ran a 10,000 user alpha, and they were testing how the AI generates animated shows. And it's a little bit controversial because they used about 600 South Park episodes to train their model. And South Park people actually got really upset because when you look at the images side by side of the episodes generated by Showrunner and the episodes from South Park, you can't even tell the difference. And granted, South Park isn't like crazily animated, but obviously it has its own style. So if that's their creative IP and that's how they decide to do their shows, it's pretty easy to replicate that using AI. So obviously that created a big problem. They were talking with the South Park team and it didn't end up leading to anything because they weren't really using it for commercial purposes. They used it for research. But I don't know about you, Yusuf, but I foresee there being issues there in the future, because if you can easily replicate something as popular as South Park, especially in recent episodes with some controversial episodes about our president, Donald Trump, I definitely see that being a problem with people generating things as they please. But right now, the platform, they're treating it like a Netflix. So right now they have an episode of what they call is, let me just check, it's called Essex Valley. And it is a show about the open AI and the AI space modeled after Family Guy. So you have people like Sam Altman, Elon Musk, all in their animated versions. And users have the ability not only to tune into the show, but to insert themselves into the world and edit the episodes as they please by editing what they want, putting themselves into different shows, putting themselves into different scenarios, putting Elon Musk into different scenarios. So it is pretty cool stuff, but a little bit controversial.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, you know, you were saying like South Park isn't like any like sort of like crazy animation, right? Like it's like pretty simple. But if the episodes are looking like, you know, like almost like identical copies, right? You know, I just wanted to know, like, if you did any research, like, you know, like, are they allowed to do that? Like, you know, like a lot of things, like, there's always like copyright infringements or like trademarks on like certain things, you know, like, so people don't copy somebody else's idea. They'll get a patent for something if they don't want their idea to be copied, right? Yeah. Like, nobody's like actually going out here and like saying, I'm stealing that exact idea. They're training their AI using something that they've already seen. And then the AI is just building off of that. They're using it as a stepping stone. But the question comes into that, like, if you're using it as a stepping stone, where does the line get drawn over how similar that they can actually look, the results be? So, like, do you know anything about, like, whether they're actually allowed to do this?
No, definitely. I feel like the biggest controversy around it is exactly what you're saying. People don't want their stuff infringed upon. And the way that AI works is that it takes everything on the internet and it trains itself, no matter if it's a language model, no matter if it's an image generating model or a video generator model. And there's definitely a lot of controversy around this. Most notably, as of late, Midjourney, the image generation model, has been sued by Disney, Universal, DreamWorks, a bunch of different companies, because not only are they commercially generating images for their millions of users, but they're actively trying to replicate IPs like Shrek, Mickey Mouse, and stuff like that that are not only famous but owned by these companies. So they recently pursued Midjourney, and this happened in like June, so there hasn't been that much of an update for that. In comparison to what they're doing at Fable had the cop-out of saying that it's like research, so they're not commercially providing it to people, so therefore they couldn't really go after Fable that much, the South Park team, and they were in contact with them throughout their development. So nothing really bad has happened towards Fable yet. Midjourney's on the ropes, and another company that was on the ropes was Anthropic. So as some of our viewers may know, Anthropic is behind Claude and all those different LLMs. And they were recently sued by a bunch of book authors and publishing companies because they were using books to train their models. So this is a little different, obviously, than image generator, because you can clearly see that if an image generated looks like Shrek, obviously they took it from DreamWorks, but they're using books to train their models to write creatively and just write in general. So different authors sued them, and a judge actually ruled that they were using it fairly. As long as Anthropic was obtaining those books in a legal manner, then it was under fair use, which is obviously incredibly controversial, because things produced with the AI can be sort of advertised as your own stuff. So if I wanted to write a book right now and I'll use AI to use it, it's not going to be very good. I mean, the AI isn't at that stage yet where people can be like, wow, the AI is going to write the next Shakespeare novel. But it's at a stage where it's taking stuff from current authors, and they're rightfully so upset because that's their stuff, that's their IP, and they're just training it with it.
Yeah. You know, like what you said about Anthropic with the books, right? You know, that made me think of like one of my favorite authors. I love reading Rick Riordan, and I'm a sophomore in college. He's like one of my favorite authors of all time. I love Percy Jackson and like, you know, all his series. I own like five of his series.
Percy Jackson or Harry Potter?
No, I actually started reading Harry Potter as my first series, and I read Harry Potter in the fifth grade, and after I finished it, then I moved on to Percy Jackson, and I fell in love with Percy Jackson that I read five another series of Rick Riordan books. I love Percy Jackson. Anyways, so Rick Riordan is one of my favorite authors, right? And when you said that about Anthropic, it's when you think, right? Like, you know, what if they take some of his books, throw it into the AI, train the AI, so now the AI can write like Rick Riordan? And like the question now is like, you know, you said that for one of the companies, like it was okay because they were just using it for research purposes, like they weren't monetizing it. And then another company, it's not okay because obviously the companies are going to be upset that, like, you know, you're taking our content, training your AI with it, and now you're making things that you can profit off of. So the big question is like monetization. Like, imagine now this AI can write like one of my favorite authors and release like completely new fantasy books with like entirely different storylines written in the same way that like his fans like know and love. Now they can monetize that. They can make money off of that, which, like, honestly, I would say puts him at risk of being out of business. And AI is going to make a book really quickly. It's just going to yip yap and like generate it while he has to take his time and think of these thoughts and write the book, you know? So like, it's definitely like an ethical issue at the same time, like of like, you know, whether training the AI with like using these things is actually going to be helpful for the person that they're taking it from.
Yeah, it's honestly really hard because I honestly see both sides. Because, you know, you see Fable, and Fable's goal is to just offer continuations of already animated shows. So the way I think about it is it gives fans the opportunity to dive into that animated world a lot more. So I would love to, you know, I'd love to go into an anime that I've watched and tell it, you know, animate this. I want this to happen this way instead of having it that way. And it's like really creative for the person to be able to see that without just using your imagination. And granted, people in the past have used their imagination and it's gone like great for fan fiction. But I feel like these tools are a way for them to immerse themselves into the world a lot better. But at the same time, it's really easy for somebody to just infringe upon already existing characters. And you can see Midjourney is commercially providing these things. So they're generating these images that look like Shrek, that look like Mickey Mouse, that look like all these characters, and providing it to customers, and they're earning money, you know? So I don't know, if I was a company, I wouldn't exactly pursue companies like Fable. Like, Fable is using it for research. Obviously there's some kind of mishaps going on if they're able to replicate episodes that easily. But at the same time, it's just going to increase your fan base a lot more because people can directly engage with your content in ways that you couldn't do before. The way I think about it is like, you know, Pokemon, the biggest IP in the world is Pokemon, bigger than Harry Potter, bigger than Star Wars, bigger than anything, right? I love Pokemon. I've loved it since I was a child. I have a DS right here next to me. And
I have the Pokemon TCG app on my phone. I like to play before I go to sleep.
Trading cards are huge. Like, if you go to Target, try to get some trading cards, you're not going to find anything because there's a bunch of scalpers. But ever since I was a kid, I would love playing like the DS games, right? And I only recently got a DS. Back then, I didn't have one, but what I did have was a computer. And a lot of Pokemon fans who are good at coding and good at like making games and stuff have learned to make Pokemon fan games. So they make fake Pokemons, they make fake storylines that aren't canon to Pokemon. They're not from Pokemon themselves, but they obviously use Pokemon IP, like the Pokemon, the design, stuff like that. And there was this really popular Pokemon game called Pokemon Uranium. And it was 100% created by fans. It was 100% like fake. It wasn't officially from the Pokemon company, Niantic. And they essentially got like wiped off the face of the planet because the Pokemon company basically told them, yeah, I don't want you guys to make this anymore. I don't want to see Pokemon associated with this. And they basically were going to get sued to oblivion if they were continuing developing that game. So the game is like half finished. You can still download it some places. But I say this to say that a lot of companies are worried about IPs getting used, but sometimes the community just wants to engage with those IPs and just work with the stuff that they love. You know, they weren't making money from that game. It was just a community of people who love doing that. So I feel like there should be a balance between outright stealing something and using it to gain monetarily and just making something your own that has come from an IP, like Percy Jackson books. Like that's a whole other thing because he's using characters that are in mythology. But let's say you want to use a Percy Jackson book and you want to continue it, like Percy Jackson has a family in the future. I feel like you have the opportunity to do that, you know, and it'd be great to see that in Riordan style and in the future. Like it'd be great to make your own shows in somebody's animation style, but there should definitely be some specific laws or like clear policies that don't just let somebody just steal stuff and go buck wild.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just to hop in there, you know, I was actually at Target the other week and I was in the book section and I saw there actually is what you just said. There's a new series of Percy Jackson where he's actually passed, like, you know, going through all the trials and now he's in high school. So there's a series on that. You can check it out later.
School? Yeah. I thought he was already in high school.
Yeah, I thought he was already in high school too, but it was surprising to me. But and it takes place after he does all the trials. But to speak on what you were saying, you know, you were just saying like, you know, there's two sides of the story, right? And like to speak more as to like, you know, that side that like, you know, this AI implementation could actually be something helpful or like it could be something good. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was younger, I used to watch this YouTuber. I used to watch a lot of like GTA videos. Like Grand Theft Auto, the video game. I love playing that. So I used to watch a lot of videos on it. And it'd be like the little, like, you know, the races or like the mini games, little missions. There was this YouTuber, named Quebble Cop. And he would do these videos, like with all the races. And he'd always do like all these like money spends, like to show everybody everything in the game. And he'd do it with these two other YouTubers named Jelly and Slogo Man. That's a way back throwback, but I used to love watching them, right?
Yeah.
He actually still makes videos to this day. And, His target audience is usually like really young kids, kind of like the same age that I was. I guess people grow up and stop watching him. But he made a channel called Quebble Cop AI, where separate from his main channel, everything that he would upload would be AI created. So it would have him in the video, but it'd be kind of like animated, and like everything in all the avatars were also just AI generated. The channel ended up getting banned. It takes 3 copyright strikes on YouTube for your channel to get terminated. He woke up to 14 overnight.
Who was getting copyrighted?
It's crazy, right? He woke up to 14 copyright strikes overnight. And I don't know exactly what could have been getting copyrighted. I tried looking it up and I couldn't figure it out. But because it's not made public, but I would just assume that like YouTube was not a fan of him not actually creating like original content. Yeah. And him being able to like possibly like monetize like, you know, AI content. The channel has like over 1 million subscribers.
Yeah.
So now if you like go on YouTube and you look at the channel, you'll see that it's only one video 6 months ago up where he's just saying that Quebble Cop AI got banned and he's just explaining why it got banned. But I will say that, you know, I definitely think there's two sides of the story, right? When he started the channel, if you look at even just like, obviously you can't see the videos now, but on the video where he's explaining why it's banned, all the comments are just saying that like, I can't believe I'm subscribed to this slop of a channel. Like YouTube is doing like God's work by like banning this guy, his AI channel. Like it's like they're hating on him crazy for having the AI channel because, you know, they think that he's just like putting out content that he doesn't really care about, this super low effort content, and just monetizing off of that, right? While in the video, he actually says that fans, like I haven't made a single cent off of QuibbleCop AI. It has over 1 million subscribers, but I didn't monetize anything off of it. The only reason I even post on here is because I have a passion and I have a love for using AI, and I like to see how it like develops in the world. He's like, his motivation for posting is just for like seeing how AI develops in the content creation space, while his fans see it as him just farming monetization. So, you know, there's definitely always going to be two sides of the story of like whether this is like a good thing to be implemented or not. But I mean, like, as far as right now, like YouTube is clearly not a fan of it because, you know, then they have to pay the guy for low effort content. So I was just curious on like what your thoughts were on that.
To begin with, they weren't even paying him. He said that he wasn't making any money. And
Yeah.
I actually, funny enough that you mentioned that, I was looking at, like, I was just scrolling on TikTok, and every single AI generated TikTok video that I've come upon is this parody like channel of, I don't know, you know, the Outdoor Boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Outdoor Boys, for those that don't know, is just a father and a son who go hiking in Alaska throughout America, and they just camp, they fish, they do like people in the wild stuff. It's really cool to see. Those are the late night videos that you get when you're up at
Yeah.
night scrolling. But yeah, so there's a parody, I guess, niche on TikTok where instead of it being people vlogging, people make AI generated gorillas or AI generated like Bigfoot, and they have them vlogging, and they're like, "Yeah, we're here in the wild. I just caught myself a fish, about to
Oh,
cook
wait, I
it
do
up."
know what you're talking about.
And it's hilarious, honestly. Even though you know it's AI generated, like obviously there's no Bigfoot, although some may disagree. But even though you know it's AI generated, it's genuinely funny. Like I'll sit there and I'll maybe watch him for 2 minutes. I'm not too proud of it because at the same time it is AI slops. I see where a lot of people come from.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was seeing some news about that. And TikTok themselves, TikTok monetizes any kind of view. As long as you have, I think, 10,000 followers, you can start monetizing the views that you get. Obviously, it's like a cent per view, so you need a lot of views to make some kind of relevant money. But TikTok monetizes views. YouTube, on the other hand, is different. So you just mentioned how they weren't paying him, even though he was generating views and he had millions of subscribers. So I feel like that policy for YouTube is a lot stricter for AI-generated content. And I think it's because YouTube is there for long form content.
I'll pause you there. I don't think exactly that like they were not monetizing it because it was AI content. I think he actually just didn't choose to be
Awesome.
monetized off of that channel because he was saying that he genuinely had a passion for working in the AI space and like developing content with that.
Oh, see that's the difference, like that we were talking about before. Like some people just genuinely want to like enjoy and engage with AI. It's not like malicious, like, oh, I'm gonna take the easy way out and use AI to generate a bunch of stuff and just make myself rich, you know? Some people just genuinely enjoy it.
No, for sure. I mean, like, also, yeah, you're falling into the AI trap, you know, watching those late night videos of the gorillas. Just over here talking about you watching it for 2 minutes, man. It's crazy. But, you know, like you said on TikTok, you know, I've also seen a lot more AI on TikTok. You know, as I scroll this summer, actually, you know, I've been working on a lot of social media analytics. So I've been looking at, you know, like some businesses, like their TikTok pages, especially in the medical space. That's what I've been centered on. And you know, I'll see these like medical TikToks. It's usually about like, you know, health concerns, stress management, just managing mental health. And I'll see the most popular one that I saw was that the best performing type of content on TikTok is actually slideshows. At least for like informative content. For informing the viewers, it's slideshows or what they call it carousels rather than like reels or like the video type of
That
content.
works though, because like when you're watching the video, you have to watch it for like 60 seconds for them to get money. But if it's a slideshow, then like you can just swipe through. So how they
For
must
sure. I mean, like, what I'm
be
saying that it does the best,
doing
I just mean by like in terms of reach.
okay.
It gets the most views, it reaches the biggest audience, the slideshows and the carousels. But yeah, just to like dive into that a little deeper, right? So those are the ones that I'm seeing that are doing the best. And when I'm looking at them, you know, I'm looking at them, I'm really just looking at the analytics, but at the same time I'm just, you know, reading through them, seeing what they're talking about. And I'm seeing that they're giving like, you know, medical advice, like, oh, like if your head is hurting or if this part of your body is hurting, you know, this is the proper treatment that you should use. Or I'll see like if you're feeling stressed or if you're feeling overwhelmed, this is what you should do. You should breathe, you should drink tea, things like that, right? And I'll look at it and I'll be like, wait, this is like it's animated, it's cartoon. If all the slides are like that and they're in these like nice bubbly font, And then in the bottom corner, you'll look and you'll see a little AI watermark, and you'll be like, wow, this is AI generated medical content. And I'm over here watching this and I'm like, what the heck, man? This is AI generated medical content. Like, this is insane. The AI is just taking over the world. The question that I'm really trying to get at here is like, you know, some of this information is stuff that should be given to you by a medical expert, like a doctor. Like, who is the AI to tell you that if some part of your body is hurting, that you should do this instead of just go to a doctor and get, you know, like real treatment? People are like very gullible. Like, we know that. Like, people will see something on the internet and believe it.
I mean,
Like, that's that.
even before AI, people would like search up like, "Hey, my head hurts and I have a raspy throat. What's going on?" And then Google
Google telling you
like,
have
"You're about to
stage
die in 5 days," and then the
five
person would believe it.
cancer. Exactly. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, and as like AI visuals get more developed and like better over time, like we're seeing all these videos. Like, I've seen videos of like a horse on a diving board in the Olympics diving into the water. It's great, and it looks so real. Like in the comments, they're always saying, yeah, I'm definitely getting scammed when I'm older. Like, you know, like people, like AI is becoming so visually real that it's crazy.
Honestly, I think I'm growing up, or I guess I'm older now, but I feel like we're getting older in a world of AI, and I can't believe like both people who are older than me and people who are younger. 'Cause think about it, like kids who are scrolling on TikTok these days, all they see is AI stuff. Obviously, there's still like real people on TikTok, real people everywhere. But as they grow up, that's all they're gonna know. Like even in schools, all they're gonna know is ChatGPT. So I'm
Yeah,
really curious how that's gonna work.
did you know that ChatGPT is expected to overtake Google as like the main search in like 2 years?
I did not
As like
know.
the main way of people finding information. It's crazy. People are gonna go to AI before anything else, which is absolutely blasphemous to me. I think like it's very helpful for doing like small tasks that you want to get done, but like as far as like it being your main go-to thing for advice or looking for a thing, I think that's crazy. It's genuinely becoming such an integral part of our world. Look, we're almost going to be relying on it soon, that it's a necessity.
Yeah, and just to get back to the TikTok thing, I was
Yeah.
when you were talking to me about the carousels, I was thinking about this one creator that I saw the other day, and he just does like a bunch of side hustles. So like he'll wash cars, he'll power wash pavements, like he just tries different side hustles to make a lot of money. And his most recent video was trying TikTok AI generated content. And he wasn't doing the gorilla videos I like or the carousels that you're talking about. He was doing these like couple quizzes. So on TikTok, there's a bunch of like 60-second videos that'd be like, what would your couple choose?
Oh, I know these. I see them all the time.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
it'll be like, would your couple choose pizza or a burger?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that.
Those are AI generated?
Sorry, what?
Those are AI generated? I see them all the time.
Those are AI generated. So the scripts is AI generated, the videos are AI generated, the everything from the storyboard to the output. And the guy was saying that for a year he was uploading those every day. He was uploading like six using CapCut, using ChatGPT, using the video generators, and he ended up making $7,000 eventually, which is just ridiculous to me because he had maybe like 10 minutes of effort in a day. And it just goes to show how easy it is both to like take advantage of the opportunity, but how easy it is for people to like not get tricked, but to see these things and think like, oh wow, someone's making these videos. Because obviously when you see the gorilla videos, when you see like the horse jumping off of a longboard, stuff like that, you're like, yeah, this is AI. But when it comes to those carousels and to like these couple quizzes, like you're not really thinking about AI in the moment. They're sort of distracting your mind by putting in a different like subject, making you think about your mental health, making you think about your significant other. And then at the end of the day, it's just AI content, which again goes back to, I guess, the theme of this podcast today has been two sides of every story, because you have people who are making content because they love it. They're making these gorillas go into the forest because it's funny. And then there's people who are just making content to make money. And that's where things start getting bad because you're not a doctor. Why are you posting these videos about medical advice and easily just replicating them with AI? You know, it's really easy for people to get tricked these days, and I can't imagine how worse it can get in the future.
No, yeah, definitely. I think like the biggest thing of this podcast today is, you know, there's always two sides. You know, like you said, that guy, he put in all those low effort videos using the AI. He made $7,000. You know, but if you didn't tell me that, like I said, like I know the videos. I see them all the time. I send them all the time. I share the videos, and I share them all the time when I see them. So like, you know, I'm part of the people that are seeing this. You know, like I'm unknowingly knowing that I thought somebody was here sitting over here editing that and posting it, not knowing I'm just sharing AI videos all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then he made $7,000. You see, like for something as simple as that, like a little couple quiz that takes him 10 minutes to do with the AI, and he's making $7,000. You see how much of a bigger problem it could possibly be for companies whose yeah. movie is getting an AI trained off of them, an author whose AI is making a book trained off of them, you know, mm-hmm. like for much larger markets than a simple couple quiz. Like the world for monetizing AI is going to be so huge, and it's so upcoming that it's almost scary. And I think more rules and regulations need to be put in place, because, you know, obviously like that one company is getting away with it for doing it for research purposes. But at the same time, when people start training based on things that they see and they start monetizing it, it's going to be a lot of money having to get shared out. And when AI is becoming such an integral part of our world, like it's going to be everywhere, that's going to be a lot of money to share out. So I'm saying that like there needs to be more rules and regulations over like what AI should be able to be used for. But then at the same time, there's always going to be two sides of the story. And that, you know, some people are going to want to use it just to test and see how AI is developing and getting better.
Yeah, I think we all know this. We all experience this. We all live it. AI isn't going to go anywhere. Like it goes without saying. And it sucks to end off this second episode on such an ominous note. But yeah. The goal for the future is to just have more regulations on AI. You know, it's not going to go anywhere. People are always going to use it for good intentions and for bad intentions, you know. So the best way to make sure that everyone is safe and doing it in a safe manner is to have these regulations in place. And I just hope that when I'm 60, I'm not getting scammed by highly quality filled AI videos, man.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, what a second episode, man. I mean, it was so fun to talk about all this, like, you know, AI and generative content. I mean, like, let's be real, like we're seeing it every day. We're seeing it. We're probably going to be seeing it in our TV soon. On our phones, on our calls, you know, the AI, Apple is implementing AI into, you know, the new software things. It's crazy.
Yeah.
AI is going to be big, guys, and it's coming into everything around us. So it's going to be huge. It's continuously developing.
It already
and
is.
It might be a little scary. It might be a little scary to see it implemented into everything, you know, but to be quite frank, that's looking like what the future is going to be. AI is going to be everywhere in the future.
Yeah. Enough said. This has been episode 2 of the New Wave Podcast. Huge thanks to Avistar for sponsoring. See you guys
in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.